You're listening to Trust Me, You're Broke. I'm your host, Julia, a millennial consultant in banking, here to give you some tips and tricks on how to make, save, and grow your money. Let's get started. It's Saturday night and we're on lockdown again. Love that for us. Instead of spending your Saturday night going out and risking yourself of the coronavirus, I'm really glad that you tuned into my podcast. So, last week we discussed critical saving tools such as TFSAs and RSPs. So today we're going to talk about one critical spending tool, I can say, which are credit cards. Now, some people love credit cards. They spend everything on credit cards because there's actually a lot of ways you can accumulate points for travel, which is not relevant anymore in 2020, or for cashback. While others have kind of a phobia of credit cards, and I've definitely come across people from opposite ends of this spectrum, and that is because whatever you spend on your credit card is essentially debt, right? And often it is associated with bad debt because it is really easy for a person to never get out of revolving credit card debt. And so instead of it becoming a short-term mechanism for you to spend, it becomes a long-term liability that you owe to these banks. In another episode, I will go through more details on this and how credit card usage can affect your credit score. But specifically in this episode, we're going to talk about some neat hacks to maximize the benefits of using a credit card. So here is credit card fact and hack number one. Understand how your interest rate works on your credit card. You see, most credit cards will have an interest rate of 19.99% APR, which stands for annual percentage rate. But there are ways you never have to pay any interest rate on your credit card, and that's called the grace period. So in Canada, by federal law, all financial institutions must give you a 21-day grace period where no interest is charged on your purchases. Now, this is really important for you to understand because the condition here with this 21-day grace period is that when the time is up, you must pay in full. Now, to clarify what I mean by must pay in full, it means you still have the option, of course, to make a minimum payment or not pay at all. You have a range of options there, but you should continue to pay in full when the time is over in order to not pay any interest rate on whatever you spent during that time period. I believe the most common misconception that people have on credit cards is that a lot of people interpret that, oh, as long as I'm paying a good portion of whatever I spent down, then I am in good standing and I won't have to pay interest, or I only have to pay a little bit of interest on whatever I now owe. In addition to that, there's also a function called the minimum payment, which can really be confusing because it's like, so if I pay that amount at least every month, am I in good standing? And it gets really confusing. And so this is certainly a trap that I fell into myself because I was told that credit cards are good for spacing out cash transactions, right? So you don't have to spend a lump sum cash and you can manage your liquidity, which basically means having the ability to keep cash on hand for as long as possible so that if there are any use cases like where you need cash for an emergency, then you can spend that instead of paying off your credit card right away. So I myself thought that, you know, the good thing to do is to pay minimum every month while holding my cash as long as possible. But really, this isn't the case. So to really understand how interest works, you need to understand firstly your statement period and secondly your payment due date. By now you might be like, oh my God, I'm really confused. There's so many running parts to this. There's the minimum payment, there's the grace period, there's you have to pay in full, but then you don't because you can pay minimum. What's going on? So let me give you my real life example. Okay, so my previous month's statement period was October 20th to November 18th. So actually my statement period just passed, okay? Any money that I spent during this period will be kept interest-free on my credit card until December 9th, which is my payment due date. So between the end of my statement period, which is November 18th, and my payment due date, which is December 9th, is what we call the 21-day grace period, where I will not be charged interest. Now, your statement period and your payment due date will be different than mine. So it's really important that you go and check your specific statement periods and payment due date. And how you do that, I mean, the easiest way for me is to go onto your mobile banking app, go onto your credit card section, and then they will always give you an e-statement. And on that e-statement, they will specifically align the statement due date and the payment due date. Now, fast forward on December 9th, I have a choice. I can pay minimum amount or pay whatever amount I want, or alternatively pay in full. So minimum amount means that you must pay this amount on December 9th or whatever your payment due date is, or your card will be flagged and it will not be in good standing. So it's like going from an A plus to a C, except the consequences are that your credit score takes a hit, your interest rate may go up like 5% to 24.99%, and in some cases, your credit card may be blocked for further transactions. The flip side option to that is to pay in full, and I would recommend personally to always try to pay in full. And here's why. If you pay in full on your payment due date, then you don't have any carryover balances, which means you will never be charged interest rate on the spendings that you've had during that statement period. But more importantly, if you pay down a partial amount, which still is better than nothing and it's better than minimum, the issue with how banks charge interest is really with that partial payment. And this is where it really gets unclear. And I think a lot of people misunderstand this. So let's say I had $1,000 on my credit card that I had to pay back. And I decided, okay, I'm gonna pay back around $900. And that way I only owe $100 now, right? So the interest rate should really be 19.99% on the $100 that I now owe, correct? Incorrect. So how banks charge interest on your credit card balances is not by how much you have left over. It's by how much you owed in the first place during that statement period. So even though I paid off $900 and I only have $100 left that I owe to the bank will continue to charge me interest on the full amount, which was $1,000. So my interest is not going to be 19.99% on the $100 that I owe. It's going to be 10 times that. It's going to be 19.99% on the $1,000, even though I paid back most of it. And that right there is what most people misunderstand. And because they don't understand how interest works, what happens is they pay down their credit card, but it seems like there's always revolving balance. There's always interest being charged, and you don't understand why the interest that you've been charged is so high. And that's because of this. You don't just pay down your balance little by little. You should be paying in full within that 21-day grace period. Now, the flip side of this is also true, right? Don't treat your credit card as if it's a debit card because you're really scared of losing track of everything. It's really easy, right? Just understand your statement period and your payment due date. Go check that on your statement right now to understand, okay, what's my month-long period that I can spend on? And then after that month, what is my 21-day grace period where I won't get charged interest? And be smart about it. Because if you're gonna spend your credit card and then you're gonna be scared and the next day you're gonna pay off that entire amount, what's the point of having a credit card, right? You should just use a debit card instead. So to really maximize that liquidity, where you really get to hold some cash for a period of time while spending your credit card in a healthy manner, you should really understand these time periods and maximize them. I can guarantee you, just by knowing this interest rate and how it works on your credit card better, you'll see that you see less unknown charges on your credit card, you understand better where your interest is coming from, and you can also manage your spending better so that your credit score isn't affected by using your credit card. And that brings me to the second credit card fact and hack. You see, credit cards aren't just a way to spend. It's also a really great way to establish a great credit score. It's a way to show the government, I guess, that you can responsibly take out debt and responsibly pay it back in a timely manner. And the first way to build your credit score or improve your credit score via your credit card, of course, is to pay on time, right? Like I said, if you don't make that minimum payment, it's going to hit your credit score. Now, a second part of how you can show that you are worthy of a high credit score through your credit card is by something called the utilization ratio. Now, that's just a fancy term for basically spending as little as possible versus your credit limit. So let's say your credit limit is $1,000, then the recommendation actually for the utilization ratio is for you to spend less than 30% of your credit limit. So if your credit limit is $1,000, then you should spend $300 or less before paying it off and then spending again. Now, one common way to do this is to spend less, but as you know, that's harder to do, especially if you have fixed expenses that you spend on your credit card each month. Or for instance, for me, whenever I fly home, it's a big purchase. One flight ticket is like $1,500. So how do you keep it under that 30% ratio without really cutting significantly your spending? Well, that's to increase your credit limit. So first things first is, you need to really understand yourself, right? Are you a disorganized spender? Are you someone that really makes unplanned purchases a lot of the time, especially on your credit card? In this case, I really wouldn't recommend going about what I'm about to say next. But if you are really that type of person that has fixed expenses and you know exactly what you're spending more or less per month on your credit card, then this is a great way for you to really boost your credit score via your credit card. If you're this type of person, then likely you will already have a really good relationship with your financial institution, and you would have shown your bank that you are a responsible spender. In this case, you will be eligible to apply for, or even sometimes they will straight up come to you and offer a higher credit limit. And of course, the intention of a bank offering you a higher credit limit is for you to start spending more. But if you are quite organized and you have a good idea of what you're spending, like I said, then increasing your credit limit is a great way to lower your utilization ratio. So a year ago, I got an offer, for instance, to raise my credit limit by several thousand dollars, and I took it right away because I knew that I was never going to reach that amount. I mean, I'm never at this point in my life going to spend like $10,000 a month. So I knew that I was not going to ever maximize my credit limit or even come close to it. So basically I did that because, you know, in the case that I do have to make large purchases, like I mentioned, such as my plane ticket, for example, on top of my monthly expenses, it would be good to have that credit limit. But I primarily accepted it because I knew this would have a great effect on my credit score. So don't just think of credit cards as necessarily a way for you to gather more debt, which honestly, it definitely is. But I'm saying it could also be a tool for you to build a great credit presence here in Canada so that, you know, further down the line when you want to make an even bigger purchase such as a house, increasing the credit limit today would help you get there because it will help you build an even better credit score. Here's a quick credit card fact and hack number 3, and that is to do with ATMs. Please, 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 for the love of God, never withdraw cash out of an ATM using your credit card. Now, this is what the banks called cash advances. Now, while I cannot say don't do this, don't do that, because, you know, cash advances are there in the case of a real emergency where you don't have any liquidity and you really, really need cash immediately, like someone is pointing a gunpoint at you or something and you don't have cash. Okay, then sure, I can't tell you not to do that, obviously. And I'm not a financial advisor, so I'm not going to advise you of any sort, but it is strongly, strongly recommended that you don't go down this route. And the reason is because A, with cash advances, the interest rate is automatically higher. So it's automatically higher, like 22.99%. It depends on your bank, but usually it's like 3% higher. But more importantly, point B is that there is no 21-day grace period with your cash advances. So you see how this can be a vicious cycle. You don't have cash on hand, so you go to an ATM and you withdraw cash using your credit card. But if you don't pay off that right away, they're gonna start charging you interest on it. In addition to interest, oftentimes they also charge a cash advance fee. And the fee can be somewhere around 5% of whatever you decide to withdraw from the ATM. So if you withdraw $100, they're gonna charge you a $5 fee right then and there. So if you can, absolutely try to avoid using your credit card at an ATM. Rather, choose to use your debit card, which is what most people do anyway. But just in case you didn't know, make sure you avoid it. Now on to the fun part, which is credit card fact and hack number 4. And this is for all of you out there who have cashback credit cards. If you have a cashback credit card, then that means whatever you spend on, you will get a certain percentage back. And oftentimes there are very specific benefits or specific places you need to spend to get that percentage. And oftentimes that's gas and groceries. Now, a lot of cashback credit cards will give you a certain percent back on all other purchases as well, but particularly with gas and groceries, they might give you a higher percent cashback. So here's a hack for you. It's holiday season and you're probably buying gifts. Let's say that you want to buy something from Canadian Tire for your friend, but the cash back percentage is 1%. Versus grocery stores, you'll get a 3% cash back. So the best way to maximize your credit card benefits here is to actually purchase gift cards from grocery stores. So instead of purchasing directly from Canadian Tire, you can purchase a Canadian Tire gift card at the grocery store and actually reap the benefits of a higher cashback rate. Now, one gift card from the grocery store might not make a huge difference in the cashback that you earn, but if this adds up to your entire Christmas purchase, for example, then you will save a lot more. So you're welcome. And on the topic of gift cards, it also applies to people who have new credit cards. So oftentimes new credit cards or new products out there, banks will try to lure you in with crazy offers. Like if you sign up for this new credit card, you'll get $300 in your first 3 months, or you know, you'll get an extra 10% cash back. There's a lot of offerings like that out there, or you'll even get an iPad or something like that, right? But the condition that it often comes with is that you have to spend a certain amount within the first 3 months of getting the credit card. So a great hack here is to purchase gift cards of regular expenses that you have. It doesn't mean go on a shopping spree and buy yourself tons of gifts from tons of brands, but buy yourself gift cards from like gas or for groceries, for example, things that you know you'll spend on in the first 3 months. And that way, without actually having to spend that much within the 3 months, you can save the gift cards for later and then spend it when you're actually ready to purchase the groceries or the gas or whatever gift card you chose to purchase. Final tip of the day is if you have a travel credit card. Now, if you have a travel credit card, you will accumulate travel points. Per dollar you spend, you will likely get 2 points, maybe even 3 points if your credit card is awesome. And you will get those points that you can spend towards travel. Now, the important thing to note here is that travel credit cards likely have benefits that are beyond the points. So you can use a lounge, or maybe even when you sign up, you received a free boarding pass to somewhere or some airline. Some credit cards even allow you to skip the line or go through the Nexus line so that you don't have to line up, which is great for the frequent traveler. So for me, for example, when I was in a job where I was frequently, like literally every couple of weeks traveling, also traveling back home to Korea often, it's really important that I'm really comfortable during my flight, right? Because it's a long flight and I wanna make sure that I'm feeling great and I'm prepared for the flight. So for me, it was a huge selling point to get a travel card, not only because I knew I was gonna make big purchases on travel, but also because of the additional perks like the lounge, like, you know, skipping the line, for example. And so that's what I really wanted to maximize, other than the points that you can save up for a flight. Because truth be told, the dollar you spend and then the points that you get to spend on your flight, it's there, but it's not the best, I think, throughout all financial institutions. You don't necessarily, you know, like I will never be affording a long haul flight ticket to Korea using just my credit card expenses. But of course, that changes depending on your financial situation. But according to my expenses that I make every month, it's not quite enough to, you know, be able to save up in time per year, for example, for me to, you know, get a free flight back to Korea. So one hack here is that you don't necessarily have to use your points to literally buy a plane ticket. Rather, what you can do is anything that you spend on travel-related expenses, so for example, even an Airbnb, you can pay down with your travel points. Now, as with any point-based benefits, the credit card company will always give you an option to pay off your credit card debt using your points. And this is honestly not that recommended because let's say on your credit card you have $1,000 worth of expenses and you want to pay back $100 using your points, then this might take 2,000 points, just as an example. Now let's say within that $1,000, you have $100 worth that you spent on travel. So let's say an Airbnb, and you want to now exchange your points into travel credit. Then if you choose the Airbnb $100 that you spent to pay off, you might only need to spend 1,000 points as credit into your Airbnb expenses. So it's the exact same $100 credit that you're getting on your credit card bill, but because it was categorized as a travel credit instead of a generic credit into your credit card bill, now you only need to spend half the points that you would use otherwise. Now, the quote-unquote exchange rate for your points versus your travel credit versus your actual credit to the credit card differs based on your financial institution, the product that you have, and the level of the credit card that you have. So make sure you look into those details. You can go into your mobile banking and check that. You can also call in if you like. All right, we're at time today, guys. I hope you really enjoyed this episode. And also, starting next week, I am going to be taking one question to address at the start of the episode. So if you have any questions related to your personal finance, make sure you contact me at Wealth by Julia on Instagram, or if you know me, just text me and I will make sure I answer your questions starting next week. Hope today's episode was informative and fun. If you like this episode, please give my podcast a like, a 5-star review, and a follow. Also, go follow me at Wealth by Julia on Instagram for more tips and tricks. I'll talk to you soon.